on this 22nd day of February 2011 in San Diego. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We're in Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, and we're on Text 67. Idam te natapaskaya.
Idam te natapaskaya.
Navaktaya kadachana.
Navaktaya kadachana.
Nachashushushavevacham.
Nachashushushavevacham.
Nachamang yobhyasuyati.
Nachamang yobhyasuyati.
This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Purport. Persons who have not undergone the austerities of the religious process, who have never attempted devotional service in Krishna consciousness, who have not tended a pure devotee, and especially those who are conscious of Krishna only as a historical personality, or who are envious of the greatness of Krishna, should not be told this most confidential part of knowledge. It is, however, sometimes found that even demoniac persons who are envious of Krishna, worshipping Krishna in a different way, take to the profession of explaining the Bhagavad Gita in a different way to make business. But anyone who desires actually to understand Krishna must avoid such commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is not understandable to those who are sensuous. Even if one is not sensuous, but is strictly following the disciplines enjoined in the Vedic scripture, if he is not a devotee, he also cannot understand Krishna. And even when one poses himself as a devotee of Krishna, but is not engaged in Krishna conscious activities, he also cannot understand Krishna. There are many persons who envy Krishna because he has explained in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the Supreme and that nothing is above him or equal to him. There are many persons who are envious of Krishna. Such persons should not be told the Bhagavad Gita, for they cannot understand. There is no possibility of faithless persons understanding the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna. Without understanding Krishna from the authority of a pure devotee, one should not try to comment upon the Bhagavad Gita. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So it's worth reviewing, going back to chapter 13, to see what Krishna says real knowledge is. Because this word jnana does not exactly translate into what we commonly call knowledge. Jnana also involves a kind of character and activities. So in chapter 13, text 8 to 12, we find Krishna giving Arjuna a description of what knowledge is. This chapter began, chapter 13 began with Arjuna's answer asking six questions. He wanted to know what is knowledge, what is the goal of knowledge, what is nature, what is the purusha, or the enjoyer of nature, and what is this body, or chaitra, and who is the knower in the body. So this is Krishna's answer to what is knowledge. So this list, we'll read this list really quickly. Humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the object of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth, all these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. So from this, we can see most of these are character traits and processes that are integral to the process of devotional service, especially the essential one, which is unalloyed and uninterrupted devotion to me. Now, when we turn to the present verse, we see that Krishna is prohibiting this knowledge to be spoken or tried to be understood by those who have no austerity or not devotees, who are not shushushave. Now, this word shushushave we'll discuss. Here it's defined as one who is not engaged in devotional service. and one who is envious. So the idea is that even for these types of persons to touch the Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada spends the purport talking about that, academics or those who want to make a business on Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is very popular, so you'll find constantly. I would assume that in the last year there's probably 10 or 12 different translations of the Bhagavad Gita or interpretations of the Bhagavad Gita, even in the English language, because it's very famous and people, it has a certain cachet. But Krishna says, no, this person, such a person cannot understand that, and it should not be spoken to them. Meaning that it is, as he said here, it's confidential knowledge. Krishna is kind of exposing the reality here. He's giving the absolute truth. And he's well aware that it can be misappropriated, misinterpreted for nefarious purposes. So the first idea is one has to be austere. If one is simply, as Prabhupada says, sensuous, meaning disabsorbed in sensual activities, sense gratification, or subtle sense gratification of the mind, then the Bhagavad Gita cannot really be understood. It cannot be embraced. Because from the very beginning, from the fact that the beginning of Krishna's instructions, he talks about yam hi navyatyantete purusham purusha sama dukkha sukham dhiram somitatvaya kalpate. If you want to have even be eligible for liberation, you have to be equipoised, happiness and distress. Well, that's exactly opposite to the sensuous person. The sensuous person is very, very sensitive to the slightest pain or suffering and is always very eager to try to maximize this sensual pleasure. So right away, they can't even enter into the outer door of the Bhagavad Gita. What to speak of any higher knowledge, you see. So embracing at least rudimentary austerities and tapasya is essential for wanting to understand the Bhagavad Gita. And it was not a devotee. How many places does Krishna talk about that? Right here in the 18th chapter, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavanjas Chasmi Tattvatah. Only through devotion can I be understood as I am. Krishna only responds to that. He reveals himself in proportion to our devotion to him. Not in proportion to erudition, not in proportion to Sanskrit scholarship or anything else, but in proportion to heartfelt devotion. And that cannot be faked. It has nothing to do with academic qualifications or IQ or anything else. It's simply a question of one's sincerity and one's willingness to subordinate oneself to Krishna's dear devotees. That's really what it takes. One has to give up one's own attempt to understand anything and really adopt this principle of shushushave, which we'll now discuss. This word appears right at the beginning of Bhagavatam in the second verse. First canto, first chapter, second verse. There, the glories of Bhagavatam are being spoken. What is this Srimad Bhagavatam? And Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are like integral. Bhagavatam begins where Bhagavad Gita leaves off. Bhagavad Gita really ends here with the surrender unto me. We just read, I put into a little poem. It says, abandon all religions and surrender only unto me. I'll nullify your sins, I'll nullify completely. From anxiety, be free. Think of me. Just think of me. Become devoted. Worship me and bow down low. You'll come to me, O friend. I promise you this boon I shall bestow. Those are the last two verses. I changed it a little. Those are the last two verses we read, 65 and 66. They comprise the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. So on that platform, Bhagavatam begins. So in this verse, the second verse of the Bhagavatam, 112, is described Dharma Projita Kaita Votra. Exactly what Krishna says. But here he says this scripture, Bhagavatam, kicks out Ujita, all Kaitava Dharma. Exactly the dharmas that Krishna says you should give up. Sarva Dharma Parityajya. What kind of dharmas? Those dharmas are those religions which are engaged in for a material motivation. Health, wealth, followers, conquering your enemy, whatever you pray for that's simply material means that it's a cheating religion according to the lights of the Bhagavatam, Kaitava Dharma. So what kind of religion is this that he's giving? Kaitava Nimatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastram. This Bhagavatam is understood Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam by those who, the Satams, the devotees, who are free from envy, free from Matsarya. The envy in both ways means you have something I want it, God has something I want it, or just out and out malice. There's two meanings to envy. It means, you know, just having a malicious envious personality. So, and what does it give? Vedyam vastavam atra vastu. So the vastava vastu, this is a philosophical term, it means the real reality. Reality in its most real form. In other words, not this shadow reality, not what the asat, but the true ultimate source of all being, of all existence. That's what you're going to find out about here. Shivadam, and this knowledge, this Bhagavatam, bestows good fortune to all. Shivadam tapatrayon mulanam, and it uproots the threefold miseries. So it's, you know, it relieves all your misery. Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavate, Mahamuni Kute. It is written by this great Muni named Vyasadeva, Mahamuni. King Vaparaya, what need is there for any other book? If you have this book, you have everything else. Or you have other books that follow from Bhagavatam. King, then the Shushushabe is coming up. King Vaparaya, Ishwarak Sagyo Rinjavarudyate Tra. That just by hearing this Bhagavatam, with this Shushushabe attitude, the Lord is immediately revealed in the heart. Sadyo, quickly. So there you have the shushushubi word. And it means, it comes from the word to hear, shravanam. But it means hearing, what Prabhupada gave this immortal phrase, a submissive oral reception. Normally we hear, but the mind is fighting. You know, unless it's something sensually pleasurable, then we can become fixed in samadhi. But if it's something that may challenge our preconceptions or challenge us to do something that the mind doesn't want to do, the mind shuts off. It puts up static, you know, and it doesn't want to hear that. So, but Shushushabe means hearing with ardent attention, just like Maharaj Parikshit heard Shukadeva Goswami speak the Bhagavatam. Or like Arjuna was hearing Krishna. You know he was hearing on every syllable. His life and death was at hand for him. This was the key, what Krishna was speaking to him. So that's Shushushabe. It means hearing with a devotional attitude and then carrying out the instruction. That's Shushushabe. So if you don't have that attitude, you're not austere, you're not interested in austerity, you're not a devotee, and you're envious of Krishna, then Bhagavad Gita will remain a mystery, no matter how well you know the Sanskrit. It doesn't make any difference. So this is Krishna's instruction, and he will give more instructions on this Bhagavad Gita in the next subsequent verses. Are there any questions on this verse? Of who's eligible to hear? Really, Bhagavad Gita is meant for the devotees. Yeah?
Oh, I was going to answer.
You're okay?
No, I was going to answer what you had. You're like, who's eligible to hear?
The devotees. Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Yaidam padamam guyam.
Yaidam padamam guyam.
Man bhakte shabidhasyati. Bhaktim mahi param kritva. Mam evaishyat yasangshayah. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Purport. Generally, it is advised that the Bhagavad Gita be discussed amongst the devotees only, for those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor the Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as he is, and the Bhagavad Gita as it is, should not try to explain the Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. The Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a subject matter for the devotees only, and not for philosophical speculators. Anyone, however, who tries sincerely to present the Bhagavad Gita as it is, will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. So, that's, I've been giving this class for about 30 years now. I started back in Miami. I don't know if I'm qualifying here or not, but at least I'm trying. But the idea is that really Srila Prabhupada didn't completely follow this. Because when he came to America, he was opening up that storefront. And right now anyone can walk in here, provided they meet the I think we have the CRESS standard. You have to be clean, respectable, sane, and there's another one. Clean, respectable, sane, and sober. You have to come to a certain standard like that. And they can sit here. They may not meet these criteria at all. But we're not saying, no, you have to get out. You're not austere. So it's open to all. Just like the holy name. We're not supposed to glorify the holy name to the faithless. That's one of the effects. Still, we ask everyone to chant the holy name. We may not go into detail about the glories, but this is in the mood of Ramanujacharya. There's a nice story about Ramanuja. When he was a student of his guru gave him the mantra, I think, Om Namo Narayanaya. And he presented it as a secret mantra, as this mantra which will give you liberation from birth and death, and it certainly would. And he said, do not share this mantra with anyone. It should not be, spoken openly, only for those who are devotees, really. So Ramanuja took the mantra, and he understood, yes, this is a mantra for liberation. It will liberate anyone from birth and death. So he got up, visualized it around a big wall, and he said, everyone, come around. I have a very important announcement. And he said, listen, chant this mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. They didn't have microphones in those days. And you will be liberated. So his guru was standing off in the corner. He said, what are you doing? I just told you, if you chant, this is a great offense to me. And you'll go to hell. And then Ramanuja said, it's okay. As long as everyone else could be liberated, I'm willing to go to hell for them. So this guru embraced him. He said, you really have understood the mood of a real Vaishnava. So although it is said that the Vaishnava is even more merciful than Krishna. Krishna demands. He says, look, surrender unto me or you're finished. He just said that. If you out of false ego, you do not hear me, you'll be destroyed. But the devotee, he's willing to try and try again, try to entice someone to somehow perform a little devotional service, even unknowingly, so that maybe in a future birth, In other words, ultimately it comes down to the same thing. You have to surrender. But they're much more liberal in attempting to extend Krishna's mercy. That's what it said. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And that's Lord Nityananda's mood also, with Jagai and Madai, and the residents of this Kali Yuga. Is that, look, they're so unqualified, they can't even pronounce Sanskrit. I learned that the word mlecha, actually the first meaning in the dictionary is those who cannot pronounce Sanskrit properly. Did you know that? Look it up. Mlecha. You can you can hear it, isn't it? And of course, it's come to mean mostly the Pathans, the Hindus, the Muslims. Yeah.
What's the spelling?
M L E C C H A. Double C. M L E C C H A. Prabhupada uses the word mlecha, chandalas, outcasts, basically unqualified. So, but still, they're being given a chance to chant. The late Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to sell this story about when he went to China. There's a whole history about how he got to go to China to preach. China was practically thought of as like a walled kingdom, red China. No one can get in there, they'll arrest you, you'll never be seen again. But Prabhupada told him, you go to China and preach, So he did. They have trouble with the L's, right? Or the R's. They have trouble with the R's. They sound like L's.
And the L's sound like R's.
Is it? Both? Yeah. So it's Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What to do? They kind of... So I said, chant anywhere. So he told the story of this one fellow who had a bad case of the L's for R's. And he was still chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So after some time, he became proficient. And he was chanting 64 rounds of Hare Krishna every day. Nicely. So the idea is, what is it? Baba Grahi Janardana. Janardana, Krishna, he's looking for your Baba. He's looking for your emotion, your sincerity. He's not so concerned about the details. And if he sees the sincerity, he gives everything else. Just like this movement, everything was given. Gradually the deities developed, the prasadam developed, the temples developed, the books developed. Because of Prabhupada's sincerity, perfect sincerity and determination. And he was able to impart that unto his totally externally unqualified followers. So that's, but of course there is this, yayidam padamam, this is the supreme secret. And most people can't appreciate the most secret thing. But it's, we're giving out these Bhagavad Gita's by the millions. It's there for everybody. Anyone who sincerely takes up this process and reads the Bhagavad Gita will become enlightened. Any questions on this verse?
Is it crest?
Clean, respectful, sane, and sober. I put an E in there. Yeah, respect the R-E in the respectful. The crest standard. You're in charge of enforcing that.
And sober.
he's our security man. Yeah, and it's important to keep that together. All right, text 69. Famous verse, actually. Nachatasma manusheshu kashchin me priyakuttamaha bhavita nachame tasmad anyak priyataro bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Now this he is referring back to the last verse, one who tries to spread the word by teaching the principles of Bhagavad Gita. So this is how we can easily get Krishna's grace. We can try to give someone else some of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Best if we actually give them a Bhagavad Gita. We have so many. Or have classes in your home. You know, whatever you've learned, whatever you read, try to share it, and Krishna gives you more knowledge. You know, he really likes that. Because you're giving a lifeline out to others who have been, you know, flailing away in the ocean of birth and death for millions of births. And you're helping to extend that lifeline that you have gotten. So this is really how the Sankirtan movement works. Okay, next verse. Adyeshate chayahimam.
Adyeshate chayahimam.
Dharmyam sangvadamavyayoho.
Dharmyam sangvadamavyayoho.
Jnana yagena tenaham. Ishtaksyam iti me matihi. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. This is a very important point. I'm not going to elaborate, because Prabhupada doesn't elaborate. But this harkens back to Prabhupada, you know, in the second chapter where Krishna is talking about Buddhi Yoga, which is, Prabhupada defines more or less as Bhakti Yoga, but it's the emphasis on the application of the intelligence, clearly. And it comes up again in the 10th chapter, where Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupiyantate. To those who worship me with all their heart, he refers to the previous verse of those who think of me, who's engaged their life energy, gata prana, who always discuss me, who glorify me amongst each other. These are the devotees. And thereby enjoy spiritual life. To them, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. I give them the buddhi yoga, the transcendental intelligence. So here, a perfect way to apply that transcendental intelligence is to study the words of Krishna. To contemplate. Not just to superficially read, but to really think over them again and again. And you'll find deeper and deeper meanings as you do so. All of these commentaries Srila Prabhupada gleaned the essence of and put them in the book here. These are, you know, written by great devotees like Baladeva Vidyabhushan, Sridhar Swami, and others, who did precisely that. They thought deeply about the words, and they were, you know, with their vast erudition, they opened up new meanings. It's not like an ordinary book. You can read this Bhagavad Gita every day, or five times a day, and you won't get tired. It's like you chant Hare Krishna. If you do it with some concentration, you don't get tired. It becomes more and more fascinating. You know, that's the key is the application of the intelligence. And one more reference to this, I pointed this out in the sixth chapter, text 20 to 23, where Krishna is speaking about the position of samadhi, the yogi in samadhi, and he's experiencing the great ecstasy of super soul, realization of Krishna in the heart. And he uses that word buddhi. Sukham atyantikam yatad buddhi grayam atindriyam. Buddhi grayam. That he experiences this transcendental happiness, sukham atyantikam yat, through transcendental senses by means of the pure intelligence. So when we everything that we do in Krishna consciousness, whether it's studying the book, whether it's seeing the deity, chanting, cooking, whatever, the more we bring our intelligence to bear in understanding the meaning of what we're doing, the meaning of what we're saying, and the larger context in which we're doing it, the more we'll be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. The intelligence is always brought to bear. And ultimately, this whole creation is, you know, created by, dare I say it, intelligent design. In every angstrom unit, there is intelligence. That's where the supersoul is. He's completely all-pervading. The supreme intelligence, the source of supreme intelligence. There's nowhere where there isn't some design. It may look random, but that's just the trick of Maya to bewilder the atheists. Okay, any questions or comments, just raise your hand. Yes, Prabhu?
Is it angstrom unit?
I'm sorry?
Angstrom unit? You used a word.
What context?
You said at every angstrom unit.
Angstrom. Angstrom unit. An angstrom unit is a tiny, tiny little measure of space.
Angstrom?
Yeah, it's like smaller than an atom or something, isn't it? You know, the scientist. It's very, very... You're the scientist? But there's such a thing as an angstrom unit, right? Very tiny little thing. Nano. Just think of nano. Okay, now we'll get to another verse with the purport. Shadhavan anasuyascha.
Shadhavan anasuyascha.
Chinuyat apiyonaraha.
Chinuyat apiyonaraha.
Sopi mukta subhalokan.
Sopi mukta subhalokan.
Prabnuyat punyakarmanam. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. In the 67th verse of this chapter, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita's being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, the Bhagavad Gita is for the devotees only. But it so happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open class. And in that class, not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open class? It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. They have faith in him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such persons hear from a bona fide devotee about the Lord, the result is that they become at once free from all sinful reactions, and after that attain to the planetary system where all righteous persons are situated. Therefore, simply by hearing the Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the result of righteous activities. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord gives everyone a chance to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. Generally, those who are free from sinful reactions, those who are righteous, very easily take to Krishna consciousness. The word punyakarmanam is very significant here. This refers to the performance of great sacrifices like the Ashwamedha Yajna mentioned in the Vedic literature. Those who are righteous in performing devotional service but who are not pure can attain the planetary system of the pole star or Dhruva Loka, where Dhruva Maharaj is presiding. He is a great devotee of the Lord and he has a special planet which is called the pole star. So the idea here is that the propagation of the science of Bhagavad Gita is all auspicious. And if someone cannot really take up the process of devotional service, even if they just hear the Bhagavad Gita, that's going to amass pious, you know, punya, pious activities. But the real devotees, we're not really interested in any kind of punya, except that which awakens bhakti. It's bhakti unmukhi sukriti. Sukriti is activity, pious activity. So that kind of pious activity is coveted by the devotees. Now, you may recall in the 7th chapter that Krishna says, Yesham tundakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohaniya mukta bhajante imam dridavrata. That this word dridavrata is important for devotees because there's so many obstacles to overcome in devotional service. The obstacles are all inside. There's nothing out there, really, that's a deal-breaker. You know, it's we ourselves who have to come with internal obstacles. But they can be very formidable. So in this verse, Krishna, after explaining that everyone in this world is experiencing a certain variety, a certain configuration of desires and repulsions. Icchad vesha samutena, dvandva mohena bharata. And so, dvandva mohena bharata, sarvabhuta sang moham. That by that, the bewilderment of duality arisen from this desires and repulsions that we have as living entities, even subhuman living entities, we remain bewildered in this world. you know, life after life. And we cultivate new desires and new repulsions in this lifetime. So in order to get free from that delusion of duality and see this world really as just Krishna's energy, we need to become free from sinful reactions. So therefore he says, Yesham Tvanta Katam Papam. You're free, first of all, free from sin, and then acting in such a way under devotional service to free oneself from sinful reactions. It's important to understand that there's a distinction really between sin and sinful reaction. A sin is something you do, is an activity that's done under the impulse of the modes of nature, without any reference to the Shastra, against the laws of God, the laws of nature. That results in a sinful reaction. Now, part of that sinful reaction is the impulse and the inclination to do it again. This is very evident in obvious things like alcoholism, you know. Generally speaking, unless one is very sinful in previous life, you're not born an alcoholic. We know there's infant alcohol syndrome. This is very tragic. But generally, you make a decision. You get in the bad group association and you start drinking, right? And if you have the misfortune, genetic and otherwise, you know, which means karma, you become an alcoholic. Now, that's a result of a sinful activity, of drinking, you see. Then you suffer the sinful reaction, all the things that happen from alcoholism. You know, health is gone, ability is gone, everything. So that happens over lifetimes also. We don't know why suddenly, you know, a disease comes or financial misfortune, whatever. But that's also coming from previous activity. Now, the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness, you don't have to perform severe austerities or sacrifices in order to specifically get rid of your sinful reactions. That comes as a byproduct of engaging in devotional service, especially the chanting of the holy name. But in order to do it with determination, we must cease from performing new sinful activities. That's one of the tapasyas of Krishna consciousness. Basically, these four regular principles. No meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. And if we can do that, and begin to chant with determination, then we get more determination. This word, dridhavrata. So yesham antakatam papam jananam punya karmanam, only doing punya, in this case means devotional activities, te dvandva moha nirmuktam, one is freed gradually from this delusion of duality. And you can see it, you know, devotees, we move through the world, and oftentimes, you know, you see some insults or something which would have gotten your ire in your, you know, pre-devotee days, it just rolls off the back. You see this person, they're ignorant. They don't really know who I am. I'm you know, secure in my devotional identity. This person can't. And even like cold and heat, you know, you find that it's easier to tolerate. You're able to overcome a lot of things you couldn't before. So that's this punya karma is important. And here he's saying that just by listening with faith, without envy, one can become free from sinful reactions. So in general, it's auspicious to hear Bhagavad Gita vibrated by the pure devotee as it is. It's all good. Any other comments or questions on this point? Yes, Prabhu?
You mentioned the word ire. How do you...
Ire? Did I say ire?
You said ire. It'll catch your ire. Something that would have caught in your ire.
Oh, yes. Ire means anger.
How do you spell
it? I-R-E. This is an English class. You didn't know that word? IRE, yeah.
Hey, preacher, gotta
learn. It's okay. We're good. Yeah, we'll. Yeah. Okay, we're going to stop here and we're going to read a little bit of Krishna Leela. Varieties, the spice of life. So, all glories to Prabhupada.